This is the 34th year that Iranians take to the streets across the country, remembering the sacrifices made and the battles fought to force a dictatorship out and usher in a new era in pursuit of independence, freedom and justice. Now, as you already may know, in Tehran, demonstrators have started to gather since the early hours of the morning. They're moving along specified routes towards Azadi or Freedom Square. That's where President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is expected to deliver his speech. The same square, of course, that saw popular protests more than three decades ago against the Shah. A general statement will be read out on the views and aspirations of the demonstrators, and like every year, army helicopters will pour flowers over these people. And taking part, of course, in these official ceremonies in Azadi Square and elsewhere will be high-ranking political and military officials, representatives of religious minorities, foreign dignitaries, ambassadors, and of course the families of those who've been martyred in the course of the revolution. Mr. Mohammad Marandi, Professor of Tehran University. As always, a very warm welcome to you, Mr.
Thank
Marandi.
You for having me.
Now, what really made Iran's Islamic revolution, as you know yourself, very unique was the fact that it was so popular.
Right.
First of all, what made it so popular at the time, and has it been able to maintain that aspect of it up until now, three decades on?
Well, I think what made it unique, as you said, was first that it was so popular itself. During the revolution, in all cities there were rallies, and even in small villages people would rally, just like now in Tehran we have a rally, but we also have simultaneous rallies throughout the country in all major and minor cities. I think perhaps one of the reasons why the revolution was so popular was because the country was under a sort of universal hegemony. And that was meaning that the United States, especially, had economic hegemony over the country, military, political, social, and cultural. So people's culture and religious beliefs were insulted through the regime that was backed by the United States. The way in which society was structured was again in line with Western social policies. The military in Iran was completely dependent upon the United States, and as we saw when the revolution happened and the Americans left, none of the weapons were usable, and it took years for the Iranians to grow independent, to be able to repair the machinery and the weapons that they had. That they owned, but they were not allowed to touch before the revolution. And of course, the country was dependent at all levels. And the Iranian people, being a dignified people who wanted independence at all levels, they could not tolerate this anymore. And perhaps the most important factor was that a very high-ranking, the most high-ranking religious figure in the country, who was seen by everyone as pious and just and courageous, and who stood above everyone else by far, he was there to unify all segments mm-hmm. of society. Mm-hmm. And it was an extraordinary revolution, because I don't think that in human history, even now when we look at the revolutions that have taken place in different countries in the
right.
region, you don't see such rallies mm-hmm. taking place on a daily basis for months all across the country.
Right. Yes. What you're saying here is the fact that Iran has been able to live up to that promise of becoming an independent state. We will look at how this, of course, has affected the region as a whole. But just again, let's come back to our guest in the studio here as we are looking at those live pictures from Azadi Square here in Tehran, where you can see the huge numbers of people who've gathered to take part in the ceremony. Now, Mr. Marandi, we know, of course, and you know very well, that back in 1953, when the Shah fled for the first time, the CIA carried out a coup d'etat against the then elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. The CIA has, of course, confirmed that it had a role in that coup d'etat. And then 25 years later, the Shah was in the same situation again. And right then, we have this CIA analysis concluding, and I'm quoting here, that Iran is not in a revolutionary or even a pre-revolutionary situation now. And then in 1978, the U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski called the Shah and told him the U.S. would back him to the hit. So do you think this revolution did come as a shock and surprise for Washington at the time, and up until now it's still trying to, you know, come to terms with it?
Absolutely. I think that's something that the United States has a problem with even today. Back then, when the Americans and the British overthrew the Shah, their dominance in this country began, the Americans alongside the British, until the revolution itself. Yet they never could tell what was going on in Iran in society, despite the fact that they had tens of thousands of people, just Americans, the British and other foreign nationals were here in very large numbers as well. Despite that, they were completely unprepared and to understand what was going on in Iranian society. And 34 years now after the revolution, we see the same problem, if not worse. It's just as bad. That the United States thought that by helping Saddam Hussein, the Europeans, by giving him chemical weapons to carry out a mass slaughter against innocent civilians and Iranians, that they could force the Iranian people to their knees. Or they thought that through sanctions and embargoes, by trying to block the Iranian central bank, what the Americans and the Europeans are attempting to do is to prevent Iran from importing and exporting, and even importing foodstuff and medicine because of the central bank being shut down. And people have died as a result, so they have blood on their hands in this regard as well. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that by putting pressure on Iranian people, by making people suffer, that people would turn against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Again, they miscalculate completely. And the poll that was just discussed earlier, carried out by the Americans and Gallup, it shows clearly that the vast majority of Iranians actually blame the United States, the Europeans, and their allies. But unfortunately, they don't seem to learn from their past mistakes. What they actually do is they unify not only the Iranian people, but in the eyes of world public opinion, they show the Europeans and the Americans show themselves to be quite uncivilized, the regimes, not only with regards to their behavior towards Iranians, but also their constant invasions of countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, and then creating civil war in Syria, bombing Libya, going into Mali, and so on and so forth. The list goes on and on. But this is a key point that you've mentioned. The West, Western regimes, meaning that's specifically, they do not seem to understand Iran, and they don't seem to understand any of the of any part of West Asia and North Africa, because they couldn't see the revolution in Egypt coming, nor in Tunisia, and they miscalculated in Syria. They supported the most despotic and cruel extremists, yet again they failed. So this miscalculation, this constant miscalculating, is something that will ultimately, I think, bring their downfall, at least in this part of the world.
Now, it is very hard not to ask the question of how right now, on the verge of the 34th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, the U.S. has come forward. Especially, we have John Kerry, the new Secretary of State. We have Chuck Hagel. These two people are being seen as people in the United States administration that view a more favorable position when it comes to Iran. So, and they did say that we are all for direct negotiations with Tehran. But basically, how are you seeing that offer? Do you think that this actually does show that the United States has changed its position and is trying to develop some kind of a relationship with Iran on an equal basis?
Well, I think what's important is how the United States behaves rather than what it says. In the past, the Iranians, on a number of occasions, they've shown willingness for rapprochement under equal terms. In other words, as long as the United States respects Iran. In the 1990s, for example, Iran awarded Conoco, the oil company, an oil field in Iran. The United States slapped sanctions on Iran in return. Or later on, when President Khatami tried to create a favorable atmosphere with Western countries and the United States, Iran was called the axis of evil. On each and every occasion that the Iranians did show goodwill to the United States, despite its the many grievances that Iranians have. Iranians believe that many of the deaths in the Iran-Iraq War, the hegemony of the Shah, the United States was, and the Europeans were behind it. But when the Iranians did show goodwill to resolve the situation, the standoff, and the United States betrayed the Iranian trust in return, or betrayed Iranian goodwill. Or, for example, in the case of the Tehran Declaration, when Obama wrote to the Brazilian president that if an agreement is reached within a certain framework, he would accept it. When the agreement was signed and it did fall within that framework, he immediately went and pursued new sanctions and effectively slapped the president of Brazil in the face, as well as that of the Prime Minister of Turkey, because he promised them that he would agree to these to the declaration if it was signed. So the Iranians really do not trust the United States. On the other hand, the United States and the Europeans, the sanctions that they've imposed upon the Iranian people are basically to hurt ordinary Iranians, to make Iranians suffer. And so there, we do not see any goodwill at the moment. If the United States changes its policies, if it makes a serious goodwill gesture, then Iranians can begin to take them seriously. But until then, words are just words, as long as they're trying to prevent Iran from importing and exporting, trying to make Iranians lose jobs. This will not work. In fact, I think that it, despite the fact that this hurts Iranians, it hurts the Americans more and the Europeans more than anyone else, because it shows them as being vicious, uncivilized, their governments. It makes them unpopular among Iranians and people beyond, and it makes people more resilient. I think the rallies in Tehran show that that sort of behavior is not going to change the way the Iranian people behave and react, and it's and they see it as quite immoral. But again, if the United States changes its policy, if it behaves in a more civilized manner toward and a more reasonable manner towards the Iranian people, then obviously the Iranians would be quite willing to move forward.
Mr. Mohammad Marandi, professor of Tehran University, thank you so very much.